All right, 2 Samuel chapter 22, and let us read verses 1 through 7. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord God, for these words that we can read, Father, of the song that David had sung, Lord, this song of thanksgiving. We pray, Father, that You would bless the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, use this servant, Father, let my flesh not get in the midst of this message, but Your Spirit would take control of my tongue. Lord, we pray if there's one here today that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, Lord, today would be the day of salvation for them. Forgive me, Lord, of my many sins and my failures as I forgive the trespasses of those against me. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this week is marked upon our calendars as the week of which we're to give thanks to God for past year's blessings and His hand of provision and protection that He's provided unto us as children. This passage here in 2 Samuel 22 is considered to be a thanksgiving psalm or song that was given by David. You can find what appears to be this very song in Psalms 18 with some variations, omissions, and alterations, which, as Spurgeon said, that he was of the opinion that David had sung this song at different occasions upon reviewing his remarkable history and the gracious hand of God in it all. David sung this song in celebration of the deliverances which God granted him from his many enemies. In chapter 21, there is the account of the sons of Saul being executed, followed by a summary of Israel's victories over the Philistines and the destruction of a number of the Philistine giants. Then chapter 22 opens, and David's song of thanksgiving. The title of this message is simply Psalm of Thanksgiving. I want to encourage us. There are many things around us that discourage us. I listen to what these preachers preach. They're pouring their heart out to us.
Amen.
They're pouring their heart out to us. They're broken over things that are going on, sin that's in people's lives, things that concern them. And I would agree with every word I've heard.
Amen.
I want to preach something to try to encourage the men of God, in particular, the men of God, and God's people as a whole. And when I say God's people, I talk about those whose desires are to walk in the ways, in the statutes, in the laws of God. Just as Israel, for those of us that desire that, we will have enemies. There are many seas to split, giants to slay, and kingdoms to overcome, and we, like David, cannot go it alone.
Amen.
Unfortunately, though, many times I get in the flesh believing that my zeal is of a godly sort, and I end up like Peter, cutting the ear off of the enemy. And the Lord has to fix it, put it back on. You know, I wonder just exactly what Peter's relationship was with that soldier after that event. You ever get to thinking about things like that? I wonder what his influence was under the kingdom of heaven after he did that.
To be zealous is good, but to be righteously zealous is godly. Our zeal starts out strong. Our zeal, my zeal starts out strong, but I quickly end up as Peter, denying the Lord and following afar off. David was a lad of great zeal. He had some tremendous words of inspiration we find at the Valley of Elah, while Goliath mocked the armies of Israel. And David said this in 1 Samuel 17:26. I love these words. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?
Amen.
Boy, if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will. And of course, as we have all heard Paul Harvey said, and the rest of the story, we know the rest of the story. David entered the valley of battle, not with the armor of King Saul, but with a bag and a sling of a humble shepherd boy, taking down the giant with one smooth stone. And then he took that giant's own sword and cut off his head. Well, that's a little salt in the wound, isn't it?
Yes.
Kind of sounds like a type of our Lord, who defeated death, hell, and the grave, not with a mighty army of 12 legions of angels, but armed only with a humility that was obedient to the will of His Father, even unto the death of the cross.
Amen.
There's no question that King David was without a doubt the mightiest warrior king that Israel ever seen, yet even this mighty king would get war weary while fighting the battles. I'm a rookie. I've been in the ministry pastoring 2 years. I'm a greenhorn. I just shot and killed my first Georgia buck this year. That's how green I am. And I feel somewhat inadequate trying to encourage men who have been preaching for 50 years. But it's not me that encourages you. It's the Word of God that encourages us.
Amen.
David said in verse 7, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God."
In
my anxiety, in my affliction, in my trouble, in my suffering, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. Have you ever been there where David was?
Yes. Amen, brother.
Too short as I have.
Yes. Amen. Yes,
brother. A number of times.
Yes.
What in the world have you done?
Yes.
Move 1,000 miles away from everything you know and quit your job for this. And then when I get to heaven and I see the glories of God, I'll say, what in the world did I do that I would deserve this for such a small price to have been paid?
Amen.
Have you ever been so oppressed and so loaded down with the fatigue of battle that the weight was so heavy that you broke beneath that weight, driving you to your knees, and you had to call out upon the Lord and cry unto your God? Let me ask you the question. Did He leave you in your distress? Does He not hear and answer the prayers of His elect or of His children? We've had many battles waged at Elk Grove Baptist Church this past year. And there will be many more.
Yes.
I know it. They got a sinful pastor. But God does not leave the afflicted for the vultures of this world to come and pick their bones within His battlefield.
Amen.
There are no MIAs in God's battlefield.
Amen.
He hears their prayers.
Amen.
And as David said in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Amen.
So let's do as David did and sing a song of thanksgiving this week. Notice verse 2. Very simple. Once I give you my first point, you're going to know the next two. Be thankful, for the Lord is my rock. Be thankful, for the Lord is my rock. When things begin to come unraveled and we get overloaded with a sense of insecurity, we have to remember that our security does not come from the things of this world.
Amen.
Or our ability to handle problems, nor the idols of control that rules our hearts. That's an idol. You know, this preacher's an idolater. I got idols on my heart. I do. That's why I need Christ every day. I need Thee every hour. I've got idols! The idol of control! You want to control events? That's an idol that I have! The reality is, what do we really control? We think we're in control, but in reality, we're as that child who thinks, while he's riding his bike, that he's riding it all alone, oblivious to the fact that his dad's holding on to the back of the seat. We're not in control. God's in control. You know, God is our security. The Lord is my rock. The word rock, speaking of security. God is my security. He is my rock. Not us, not government, certainly not presidents, but God.
Amen.
You know, there's been a few things said about politics. I've got to get my few words out there about it. The one thing that government has showed us regarding security is that they offer none.
Amen.
If you think that the next president is the answer to our ailing economy or the moral descent of our nation and the rejection of God, allow me to remind you of the current administration and the Christian influence that he claimed he was going to bring to the Oval Office.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm convinced that God's going to work in our nation in such a way that in order for anything in our nation to change, it will be none other than an absolute miracle of God that none can deny. Like Gideon's army. You'll not deny it. And when you consider for a moment the genocide that's been committed upon the most innocent of our society, the unborn, that our nation has brazenly... Listen, it is nothing short of genocide. It's flat out genocide. That's what it is. And our nation has brazenly offered up these babies upon the altars of choice or convenience, lust, fornication, adultery. I just wonder how long before God brings His judgment down upon us. Eventually, it will come. It's just a matter of time. Government's not the answer. Government's one of the great problems. They have removed God from our courthouses and allowed the God and has established the God of the ACLU to sit upon His throne. But listen, God is my rock.
Amen.
God is my rock, and will not share His glory with none, including the Oval Office or any party platform or a third party.
Amen.
Psalms 61 and verse 2 says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee."
Amen.
"And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I love how the psalmist, "The rock higher than I." It would seem as if he was searching for the rock at his own level and had concluded he needed something far higher.
Amen.
Isaiah 33:16 said, "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks." You know, down throughout history, cities were built in high mountains that gave the inhabitants of that city an advantage over their enemies upon attack. What better rock to flee to? What better city or hill to retreat to than the God of my rock? 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock," capital R, spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock, capital R, was Christ.
Amen.
And I say also unto thee that upon Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, right?
Amen.
Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And moreover, Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Do you have Christ, the spiritual rock, for your salvation today? Is He your city upon the mountaintop for your security? If not, you need to run to the rock. And I'm not talking about provincial. The rock of Christ. Jesus speaking of Himself as He spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees. He said this, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." That word broken there in the Greek means shattered, of no value. It's not, you can't buy some super glue and put it back together. It's shattered, it's broken, and it's of no value. And when you come to Christ, you will come in no other way than to be broken and completely shattered of your own self.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Give me no other spirit in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. But hear this. "But on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder."
Amen.
Grind him to powder. Now listen, we've been preaching and have heard for the last 100 years or so in evangelism a kind of gospel that preaches a life enhancement Jesus. Christ is not a life enhancement.
Amen.
Come to Christ and He'll make your marriage better, your life will be better, you'll get a better job, and all these life enhancement nonsense promises. And I'm not saying that those things may or may not come true. But that is secondary. Primary is, come to Christ, or the wrath of God that abideth upon you will grind you to powder.
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's pretty hard. You better believe it. That's what drives them to the cross, and that's what will keep them to the cross. Why do we have such a fallout with the gospel today? There's no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen.
"But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Preacher, you preach it, you better believe. Let me tell you something. I'll brag on the Lord a little bit. We've increased our numbers 40% in 2 years down there. And I'm not down there preaching sissified cinnamon bun Jesus here. I'm preaching hellfire, sin, and repentance. That's what I'm preaching. People are responding to it. Why? It's in the Bible.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You better believe it. Use the law. Let me tell you something about the law. The law drives sinners to grace.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. You can go anywhere in any part of this world, globally, anywhere, and everybody knows and will all tell you the same thing, that it is wrong to tell a lie. How many of y'all told a lie? Come on now, how many of y'all told a lie? All the preachers, all right. Only the preachers have told a lie. And all the rest you just lied to. How many of you ever stole anything? How many times do you have to tell a lie? What is it when you tell a lie? What do you call when you tell a lie? What are you called? A liar. When you steal something, what are you? A thief. How many times do you have to lie before you're a liar? How many times do you have to steal before you call a thief? How many times do you have to get drunk before you're a drunkard? You're all law breakers, and the law of God, the wrath of God, abideth upon you. Run to the rock, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm a law breaker. I need mercy. I need it now. I need it today. I need it tomorrow. I need it tonight. I need mercy. I don't need judgment. I don't need justice. Lord, send me mercy.
Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalms 19:7. Folks, we're missing the boat, man. You get people to listen. The law of God is written upon the hearts of men. Now, they're depraved. I know that. But everybody will admit they've told a lie. And James said, I believe it's chapter 2:1, that if you've broken one, you've as much as broken them all. Which was, I believe, symbolic of when Moses came down from the mount and seen them idolizing that golden calf. He threw the tablets down, shattering them all.
Amen.
That pictured exactly what James said. If you break one, you broke them all.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. Therefore, I esteem all my precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalms 119:128. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul said this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You want to know what I believe about why we have such an antinomian mindset today in Christian culture? Because they don't esteem the sacrifice. They don't esteem the sacrifice. Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Why? Because you esteem the sacrifice. You realize what He did for you, what He saved you from, and what He set you on high to. And it is that love that He performed on your behalf and upon mine, if you trusted in Him by faith, that causes a person to give his all for the cause of the gospel. They don't esteem the sacrifice. They trample it underfoot. I dare say we have a lot of false converts in our churches today.
Amen.
They don't esteem the sacrifice. John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Folks, believing is submitting. We've heard already, "My sheep hear my voice, and they do what they want, live how they want." You know, we're good to go. No, they follow me.
Yeah.
Esteem the rock, the sacrifice of the rock. Because if you don't, the wrath of God abideth on you and I. That's why we need mercy. That's why I need Thee every hour.
Amen.
So for those of us that esteem the sacrifice, let us be thankful that the Lord is our rock.
Amen.
That's good news. Listen, you know, yeah, the wrath of God abide him. Yeah, that sounds negative, but let me tell you something. The law of God and the justice of God is wrath, but love sent grace.
Run to grace. Run to Christ. Secondly, be thankful, for the Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my fortress. Upon this, the rock, every rock is a great fortress, a place of safety. This world has got many dangers, toils, and snares, and we get battle-weary, and we get worn, but the greatest of all places to retreat to is Christ our fortress. Where do you go? Where do you go? I'll tell you where you go. You go where I go. You go to your prayer closet, and you fall on your knees, and you cry to your God. That's where you go. Even when there's trouble and strifes and divisions in our churches and our homes and maybe even in our marriages, nobody can take away from you or from me the fortress we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus told His disciples that He sent them forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, that doesn't sound all that encouraging to me. I don't know that I want to sign on for that if you don't esteem the sacrifice. But if you do, where do I sign? I can't sign fast enough.
Amen.
And He was sending us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, and because of that truth, He said, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10:16. And He continued that discourse, and He said in verses 24 through 28, He said, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord."
Yeah.
It is enough. It is enough. That Greek word is translated sufficient as well. It is sufficient. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. I don't find a whole lot in the health, wealth, and prosperity bunch are wanting to be as their master, as they call him. If they have called the master of this house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the air, that preach ye upon the housetops. We're not going to be favored. We're not. We're going to have enemies. Why? Because we like our Lord. They hated Him. They hate us. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Listen, be thankful. The Lord is our fortress.
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
Is our fortress. For it is in Him we live, move, and have our being. He is our safety. He is our fortress. While we travail this weary land, we're pilgrims. We're but pilgrims. I'm so thankful that He's there for us.
Amen.
You know, I look out in the parking lot, and you know, just as a passerby, we all look like we're really suffering, don't we? Got fine sport utilities, nice minivans. We're really suffering, aren't we? In the big picture of things, really, are we? Got a fine 30-06 that works real well. Shot me a fine buck that's going to hang on my wall so that I can brag. Yeah, I'm really suffering. In the big picture of things, I'm not. I'm really not.
Yeah.
At all. What have I given up? Consider the sacrifice.
Amen.
Nothing can compare.
Amen.
Thirdly and lastly, be thankful, for the Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my deliverer.
Amen.
For the child of God, we've been delivered from our sins and in through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ and He alone.
Amen.
Now, for a minute, consider your sinfulness. Started a series of messages on Sunday night. Brother Jerry, I'm going to hurry. A series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm telling you what, them Beatitudes, boy, if they don't beat you up. If you don't see those Beatitudes in your salvation experience, you better make your election and calling sure.
Right. Amen.
You better make your election and calling sure.
Amen.
We are such sinners
that Paul referred to our sin nature as the law of sin which is in my members. Romans 7:23. Our sin nature is so powerful that it is as a natural law. Much like the laws of gravity and the laws of nature and the laws of time and space.
Amen.
We operate under the natural laws of this world, and we also operate under the law of sin as well. Why? Because we are sinners.
Amen.
But the Lord is my deliverer.
Amen.
I've been made free from the law of sin. Paul said in Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death."
Amen.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here's the kicker. Paul's always got a kicker. "Who walk not after the flesh,
Amen.
But after the Spirit."
Amen.
So, the Christian asks this, why do I still then sin? And I would answer, because we walk not in the Spirit, but in the flesh. And his reply then comes back, "Yeah, but I sin a lot." And I would reply, "Yeah, so do I." Now, my sin might not be outwardly, but let me tell you something. Y'all don't want to know what's going on up here. And you know what? I don't want you to know what's going on up there. Yeah, I've got the outside cleaned up pretty good, but man, I know what's going on here. My thought life is not what it needs to be.
Amen.
But here's the comfort. Why do we care whether we sin or not? We didn't care before, did we? Romans 8:6, Paul said, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You care and are concerned about how much you sin because ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Amen.
Romans 8:9. Question. Do we walk in the flesh as much today as we did prior to our conversion? Thank God, no.
Amen.
Thank God, no.
Amen.
And if so, if you do, you better give diligence to make your election and calling sure, 2 Peter 1:2, and examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, and as Brother Dan said, prove your own selves. How do you prove yourself? I have to examine my life and see how it lines up with the Word of God.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then if your answer is no, then rest assured you have been delivered from the law of sin. Not that you won't ever sin again. But when you do, we that are spiritually minded will be convicted of our sin and have unrest in our souls. Until we get right with God and those that we've offended.
Amen.
That's the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And if we don't have that conviction and desire to do according to God's Word, which is righteousness, then you are none of His. Unrest in the soul is because of open sin in our lives. But that is our assurance that really we've been delivered from our sin judicially. And if judicially, then sin no more hath dominion over you when you walk not in the Spirit, or when you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And you can be rid of that sin practically by the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Now we can. I'm not going to go up on the top of this building and jump off and fly and say, "Because God said I could." That's just stupid and silly. But listen, the things that plagued me before my conversion no longer hath dominion or power over me. I don't have to be a slave to those things anymore.
Yeah.
And because Christ is our deliverer from our sin, He's also delivered us
from death, hell, and the grave. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57. So, preachers today, pastors, people of God, sing the song of thanksgiving.
Amen.
The Lord is my deliverer.
Amen. Amen.
I haven't even gotten out of the second verse of this song by David, and my time's gone.
You got the 2:30.
All right. That's good, because now I'm on to my conclusion. That's 3.5 pages. I'm just joking. But consider, look at the rest of the passage. Look at the rest of the passage. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Is He? That's comforting to me.
Amen.
When things get down and people start bashing you, listen, I've been bashed. You know, I've been bashed pretty good. Fortunately, my dad taught me to be a fighter. You know how many times, I ain't said this to my church, I'll probably get back to them, but how many times, preachers, have you practiced your resignation? I've got that rehearsed down pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know what? God does a work. And He gives you a love for people.
Amen.
And I'm not going to bail out on them.
Amen.
They need a shepherd. They need somebody to lead them.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You bet. And you can't let the one or two mess up the rest of the majority, the silent majority who won't stand up and support you, run you off. You can't let them run you off.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
They all get nervous when I come back to Kentucky. Preacher, you coming back? Yeah, I'm coming back. I have every intention of coming back, Lord willing. But you notice verses 3 through 7. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust.
Yes.
We got to stop, folks.
Amen.
And we've got to meditate on these words and draw comfort from these words. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Get back to the day that He saved you. What a day.
Amen.
What a day.
Amen.
I can remember, and I've told the church this, I can remember there was a time in my life where I was delved in sin and never seen myself ever getting victory out of it. And depressed over it while partaking in it because I didn't have the strength from within to get out of it. But you see, now Christ has saved me. Sin no more has dominion over me. He's delivered me from that and much, much more.
Amen.
And He's not done delivering me.
Amen.
Sanctification is not an event. It is a process.
Amen.
And He's not done with me yet. Nor you either, if you're saved by His grace. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies when the waves of death compassed me. I'm telling you, man, He was down in it.
Yeah. Right.
He was down in it. But what pulled Him out of it was setting His sights going from horizontal back to vertical. That's what helped Him. That's what pulled Him out of it. The floods. Pastors, preachers, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Yeah, I've been there. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And He did hear my voice out of His temple. And my cry
did enter into his ears. What more do we need?
As servants of Christ, we're in a battle. And in a battle, and if no battle, no Christ.
If you're not battling, you don't have Christ.
That's right.
Servant's not greater than the master.
Amen.
The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Christ battled the
devil. He battled the sin nature of man.
I mean, you could argue, you could sit and really contemplate that thought, because he was tempted in all points just as we.
He was all man!
Yeah, right.
Now that mystery of the incarnation, you got to think about that for a minute. All man! Now man, you know what tempts you! And he was tempted as we were at all points, yet without sin. I got to really think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about that. So he didn't sin like I do. But he most certainly battled the sin nature in others, those who despised and rejected him his whole earthly life. Even the kings trying to kill him when he was a baby.
Folks, this week, of all weeks, let us be thankful that the Lord is my rock. And you know what? That's personal.
Amen.
He's your rock too.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm reading it. So he's my rock.
Amen.
And my fortress. And my deliverer. Is he yours?
Amen.
All right. Brother Jerry.
Amen. Amen.